Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm bringing you a mashup of some of the podcast's best masturbation information. Because, hey, masturbation is sex with someone you love. Topics include how something such as Masturbation Month came to be, top tips on finding the right sex toy for you from one of the top toy experts in the industry, why masturbation is such an important part of sexual health, and ways to switch up your self-love routines. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com and social media everywhere is Sex with Emily across the board. Intentions with Emily. For each show, join me. We're going to set an intention. I do it at the beginning and join me in doing the same thing. And so when you're listening, think about what do I want to get out of listening to this episode? How could it help me? You know, we're all taking in so much information these days. So if we think about intentions, maybe it's, well, I've been listening for a while and I always look forward to Masturbation Month content, or maybe you've just been feeling really disconnected from your body and you want to know what tips how you can explore. My intention is, hey, I've been doing this for 15 years. I got a lot of masturbation content. These are from the last few years, some masturbatory moments because self-love is a good time. So enjoy the show. So happy Masturbation Month. Yes, it's a whole month, you guys. I love May. May is so fun because... yes, masturbation deserves a whole month. And you might be saying, well, I masturbate every day. Well, that's good for you. Because our goal this month is to get people to kind of focus on your masturbation and switch it up, work on exploring your body. We've got some great tips on the site. And you know, masturbation is all part of being healthy sexually. Nothing wrong with a little masturbation. So it got me thinking about this because there's so much going on now with sex and with kids. It's really important that we teach more about pleasure when it comes to sex, especially to young people, and that sex isn't just about, you know, fear-based education. When you think about sex ed, it's like you're going to have an STI, you're going to get pregnant. Oh my God, don't have sex. Only have sex, you know, when you're married. And the thing that we totally skip over is like, wow, there's actually some pleasure to be had. And here's some masturbation. You know, it's okay if you touch yourself. It's okay. You know, it's totally fine to have these sensations in your bodies. And I think that kids are just, there's so much shame around it. And I think now with porn, what I'm experiencing from a lot of parents, friends with kids, young relatives I have, pretty much everybody, I feel like there's kind of been the tipping point in the last few months where it's like, what do we do with the infiltration of porn right now that kids at like age 8 or 9 are now seeing pornographic images for the first time? That's the first time they're experiencing sex. And then Like, they don't talk about it to anybody. Parents are expecting the schools to take care of it. And then they go into school and they're like, don't get someone pregnant. This is a fallopian tube and you better wear condoms. And then they're like, well, what happens to my penis when it's, you know, if I have this kind of wet dream? And girls are like, I don't really know what happens when I orgasms, or how do I please myself? Or maybe they were shamed. You know what happens? You know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, like that there's so many women who really don't have a great understanding of their bodies. And especially at a young age, something, it just takes one thing to happen. Like maybe we're inappropriately touching ourselves at the kitchen table, or our relatives come over and a parent says, oh no, honey, that's dirty. Go into the bedroom, or that, don't ever do that again, or you'll go blind. And we get all these messages around, you know, touching ourselves and our bodies that are just wrong. So we should think about, if you have kids, or you're an aunt, or you're an uncle, or there's kids in your lives, I really think that it's important, if you can be a really good source, obviously talk to the parents first, but kids are asking questions these days. And even more so, I feel that we have to be on hand to support our youth. And we actually have a blog on the website, Why Masturbation Should Be Taught in Sex Ed. And I'm bringing this up because there's definitely some controversy around this. I understand it. I remember when Bill Clinton appointed Dr. Joycelyn Elders to the Surgeon General, and her first thing was like, we need to teach pleasure in schools, and people freaked out and she had to step down. And that was a long time ago. And that was before we could all get porn, you know, on our smartphones. So I think more than ever now, I get it. I get what she was saying. And I think that, hey, there's other parts of the world, like in France. Okay, this is for my French listeners. I need you to find this. They began using a 3D printed model of the clitoris to teach children not just about the intimate body, but how to get pleasure as well, which makes total sense. I want one of these 3D clitorises. Norway, they also, for a long time, you guys, people from Norway, like, they are taught about pleasure at a very young age. Young kids are taught, well, when you have sex, when you get older, yes, you should be safe. You should use protection. But also, you know, pleasure. Your body is important. It's important for you to experience pleasure. They say this to girls. They say it to young girls and to young boys. So the reason why I think it's kind of at a tipping point now is because I think that there's so much porn and there's so much miseducation. So check out the blog, you guys. Let me know what you think about it and how we should deal with educating our youth here today. And happy Masturbation Month. Keep masturbating. Keep talking about it. We all do it. We all masturbate, especially this month. So let's have some fun. I am so excited to welcome my guest and dear friend, Coyote Amrich. She's the Director of Purchasing and Product Development for Good Vibrations. Hi, Coyote.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good to talk to you. I'm so glad you're calling in. Good Vibrations is this really unique, like, I was fresh off the bus from Michigan, had never had an orgasm, and people kept saying, have you been to Good Vibrations? So have you been? And I walked into one on Polk Street, which might have been the only one then.
Oh.
This is like 92?
No, Polk was our third street.
Was it third street? Okay. Oh, yeah, third street. Okay. But that was the first one I went to, and it was like, and this is still how it is, but even, you know, more so, like, hi. I'm like, hi. Like, you know, at first you think sex toy stores are going to be this weird, like, you know, back of a room with some weird lights and beads and old men. And no, they were like, hi. I'm like, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. Like, well, have you had an orgasm? I'm like, I haven't. And it was like the most comfortable, relaxed, well, let's go over here. And that's kind of how the ethos of the whole brand of Good Vibrations, and that's how you are, and that's what spoke to you. So that's the Good Vibrations experience that you still carry on through everything that you do. Because I always say the reason why I call you the Surgeon General is because I actually look at things, because, you know, we get sent a lot of toys here too, and I'm like, well, does Coyote, like, what does Good Vibrations think? What does Coyote think? Because you have very high standards. There's a lot of people making toys now. And how do you deciding, like, what makes a good quality toy?
Well, I mean, there's some really basic elements of what we look at. And we look at the quality of the product. We look at safety and making sure that it, you know, doesn't have rust seams or exposed wires or things like that, because it does happen. And then we look at functionality, because, you know, a good toy can mean something so different to two different people. And I try to look for and work with the staff, you know, in the stores to look for items that really fill in gaps in our inventory and meet the needs of our customers. And that is a moving target, and it has been since we opened our doors in 1977. So it's changed so much over the years. Our customers coming in now have a different level of experience than they did when we first started, and people are doing their own research, you know, et cetera. But we really want to make sure that, you know, the product is functional, that it's going to work as it says it does, and that it's going to hit the spots that it's supposed to hit, and that it's a safe product to use, and it's the best quality for that price point.
Right. Okay. So what makes a bad sex toy?
Honestly, you know, to me, aside from like something that actually hurts, you know, that has rust stains on it, or, you know, there's products out there that are made to look like other products, but they just aren't. And, you know, we've seen metal toys that have kind of a roughness to them, and that's really dangerous, honestly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, rough seams, roughness to them, if they break really easy, if something's, you know, that's a bad toy.
Yeah, bad toy. They leave half of it in your vagina when you're done. You're like, oh, wait, where'd the lid go? It's in my vagina.
Yeah.
But okay, so,
I don't like that.
No, that's a good way. Yeah, I get that. So what if someone has never bought a toy? Like, what are the questions? Let's say they go into a store, they go to our site, which is powered by Good Vibrations. Where do they go? People often ask me that, but I'm like, let's just talk to Coyote about it. Like, what do you say? Because you must be that person at a party that everyone's like, oh.
Yeah. Yes.
Tell me more.
I am that person at a party. So I really feel like intuition is a really powerful thing in ourselves. And so I tell people all the time, I'm like, go into the store, go onto the website, be patient with yourself, look around, and pay attention to what catches your eye. So like if you're going to look for a vibrator, scroll through the vibrators for a second and what catches your eye, because there is a lot on the market. Mm. In the stores, we can pull you aside. We can talk with you. You can ask us questions and we can listen to what you say and then guide you based on that. On the internet, it's a little bit different. You may be going to look at different reviews or different blogs, but those people are writing for their experience and we want you to feel pleasure. So we want to know your experience. And so we give information on the website that's just going to give you, you know, an understanding of how this product is going to work for you, where it's going to touch the body, what the purpose of the product is. And what I tell people is what is attractive. You don't want to wear a pair of pants that isn't attracted to you just because it covers your legs and butt.
Okay.
You want to, you know, wear a pair of pants that looks really good. And you find that when you go to the rack and you look at it. And it's the same thing. When someone's standing in front of the vibrator wall, I'm like, well, what caught your eye?
That's
and then
so good,
nine
Coyote.
Times out of 10, they end up with that product because this is going to bring you pleasure. This is something that you're going to be intimate with. You don't want to hate it.
Right, exactly.
You don't want to think it's not attractive. You want to think that like, oh, this is going to bring me pleasure. This is my new best friend. And so there is an element to it that it's like, what are you attracted to?
Yeah, no, that is
like
such
in
a
real
good
life.
Yeah, exactly. Just like in real life. I never thought about it that way. Like, so really in the design of toys have changed so much. A lot of them are beautiful, but you're right. They look good in different colors, but yeah, go to the site and check it out and read about them. Do research.
Any vibrator can be used by anybody because you can hold it on your body wherever it feels good. And that's the wonderful thing about toys and sexploration with your partner or yourself, is that you get to find what feels good, where it feels good. And if you're doing this solo, then you get to show someone at some point and be like, look what I can do, or look what feels wonderful. And then if you're with a partner, you get to go through this process of figuring out together what feels wonderful and what, you know, can maybe heighten the intimacy that you already are building.
Well, let's talk about that, because, you know, I believe too that toys actually heightened intimacy. They do. So what do you say to people who say, Coyote, you must get this at all the parties, wherever you go out in life and you tell them what you do, they go, oh, I don't need a toy. Oh no, toys aren't for me.
Yeah.
What do you say? What do you say to that?
Yeah.
I always want to know. I always want to ask
you. I know. We get that a lot, and I hear that a lot from, honestly, friends and people at parties. And, you know, and the reality is, like, maybe you don't need something, but it feels really great. And you don't know what it could feel like until you try it. And so I don't need to, you know, drink coffee. I do, actually. But I don't need to. I can figure it out. And I would just only need to drink water. How about I don't need to have, you know, anything else but water. But it tastes good.
Right.
And I like it. And I like how it makes me feel. And so that's the same thing, is like, you don't maybe you are a person who doesn't actually need vibration to climax, which majority of female bodied people do need vibration to have an orgasm. But say you're that person who doesn't. Okay, that's totally fine. But what would it be like if you used a vibrator and your orgasm was different? It was more intense, maybe. And then what if you're using a product with a partner, and for your partner, it's so exciting to like use a vibrator on you and make you feel such intense pleasure. It deepens that connection. And I've heard it. I don't need lube. I lubricate myself enough. And I'm like, okay, but that's only for vaginal play. What about other types of play? What about hand jobs? What about anal? What about all the other ways that we can be intimate together? And those parts of the body don't self-lubricate. And also, maybe you're having a really long session with your partner. It doesn't always stay wet the whole time.
Right, exactly. So it doesn't. Really, so I'm like, it's a safety measure.
They all enhance. Exactly. Right. And also, it's just fun. Have fun. Sex isn't just about, you know, one and done. You spend some time, play together, be spontaneous and fun, and trying new things out. And that's what products allow you to do.
Right.
Again, maybe you are that very small percentage of people who don't truly need vibration to achieve orgasm, but
the majority, you said the majority really do. And I agree. Like, and then what about women who feel, they're like, I feel bad about it, or it's going to replace me. But I think you just explained it really well to people who are still hesitant about it. Like, it's for everybody, everyone's body, different parts of our body, and adding lube. I know that lube conversation.
Well,
I'm like,
no,
can we get over the fucking stigma with lube people? Yeah.
Yeah. And also, it's a fear response, right? It's like they don't know, so they're afraid of it. But it's like, give it a try, because it can really, like, heighten intimacy. It can be really fun, and it can really bring new pleasure.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I say. I'm like, that's what I say to people. I'm like, you know, well, no one's ever called me and said, why'd you tell me to try lube? Like, literally in 14 years, no one's been mad about that. No one's been mad about a toy. They've never been like, it's a gift, you bitch. Why, my partner did leave me for their magic wand.
Right.
You were wrong.
Like, literally never.
Like,
yeah.
Literally. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J, and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out, so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. It never happened. So, Menace.
Yes.
It's May.
It is.
And it's Masturbation Month. So I'd like to be the first to welcome you to and say, you know, wish you a happy, happy Masturbation Month. I'm just wondering how you're going to celebrate this year.
I'll masturbate every day just for you.
Cool.
But I feel like every other month is a blur, and then suddenly it's Masturbation Month again.
I think this might be like our 10th or 11th Masturbation Month that we've celebrated together.
Yeah.
Not like, well, we haven't done any mutual masturbation.
Let me ask you, in your early days of masturbation,
yes,
what would you think about?
It's a really good question.
Yes.
And I would think
about...
Feel free
to share.
Thank you. You have to answer after.
Oh,
honestly,
no.
Honestly, that's a great question, because my early years of masturbation were later than most people's, because I did not start to masturbate until I was about 20, because it never occurred to me ever to touch my body. I didn't know there was anything to do. around my body that would feel good. And so then I was really in my head and I didn't have any thoughts. I was like, oh, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't feel good. What's the problem? I can't have an orgasm. Like a lot of our listeners. And then I started thinking about guys that I was with, like usually really real pure, like guys that I like, that I kiss, that I crushes on.
I think that, not the guys that I was,
I thought the guys,
but just like, you know, partners and stuff like that. That's why I've never really got into porn because I don't feel it's real life. But I think like, you know, past experiences are much more real and, you know, able to pop that up quickly for masturbation.
Well,
you know?
Right. Well, what do you think about? What like did I said, you think about then? Then was it like a girl you had a crush on?
Yeah, or? Stuff like that. Nothing right. like, oh, just, you know, stumble upon a video or a magazine or anything like that. It was just like actual, like, you know, real life experiences.
Typically they say like it was about, I think this was a study that just came out, like what men to masturbate to or about, and it was like about things that have happened. It could just be like a hot woman they see on the street that they run into. You guys are all the guys listening are but you know, it could be an ex, because we tend to kind of put our exes on pedestals and we just think about like how great it was, or you know, that I don't know.
Well, you can pull the memories of
In the spank bank. Hello. But I don't think that we have the spank bank. For me, it's like my spank bank is like channel 9. Remember channel 9 was all fuzzy when you were a kid? Like there was no channels. Did you ever have that? Like channel that didn't work? Channel 3? That's what it is. Like they're all mushed together. But I think for men, it's more specific. We talk about like the themes on the show. Things come up. Like lately, we've seen like threesomes come up and like they come back around. Like there's been so many things about threesomes or porn or anal sex. But I feel like the questions, masturbation can be very, very confusing when you're in a relationship, because we hear from men and they're like, my partner doesn't want me to masturbate. They think it's wrong. She's jealous if I'm masturbating, or I have to hide it. And I feel like there's a lot of women who are like, I don't understand why my partner watches porn, or once they're in a relationship, they stop masturbating. There's all these things around masturbation that keep, I think because it's more, I don't know, I think because of porn, or maybe it's just more talked about now, people know what it is, and it's also confusing. So I love this month because I feel like all these weird myths and confusion and questions that people have around like why, like around their partners masturbating, but also, so there's, that's one part of it, the confusion. The other thing is that the reason why we celebrate it for a month, and if you are one of these people who are going like, I thought every day was masturbation month. Good. Mm-hmm. You know what? I thought every month was, it should be. Okay. So you're right. But the thing about it is that masturbation is actually good for you and healthy, and you have better sex when you masturbate. Like you, especially for women being more in touch with your bodies and knowing what makes yourself feel good. You've heard me say this, but like for people who like don't even think you're like, I'm in a relationship, I don't really need anymore. You do. It's actually,
it builds stamina.
It builds stamina. Women, if you're like, for knowing your body, your erogenous zones, what makes you feel good. So that's why. So this month, tips, tricks, blog posts, podcasts, all about masturbation. Cool. That's why. If this is news to you, because like it's not on the, like the national calendar, like on your iPhone, how it populates all the
I know,
the,
right? There's the, so many holidays I don't even know about.
But masturbation, you know what? I'm going to put that on the ballot. I think masturbation month should be recognized as a national holiday.
Call Tim Cook at Apple and say, look, dude, you got to fix this calendar.
Don't you think? Because if we all have masturbated more and had more orgasms, the world just that we to be a happier place.
And do you know what? There's so many more crazy tools for masturbation now than, you know, just 10 years ago. I mean, the Fleshlight has exploded,
I
right?
I know, right? Yep.
Yeah.
The Fleshlight, male masturbation sleeve, that's true. There's so many more toys. There's so many more ways. Mutual masturbation. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of that for couples. Yeah,
masturbate with your partner. Freaking robots. Like within the
robots
next
will
years.
Masturbate you for you. You won't have to do anything. We will literally never leave the house.
That's funny. So on the topic of masturbation, kind of like this list, there was a survey, and we talked about it on the Woody Show, and it was kind of like a would you rather list, and they surveyed a bunch of people, and this is the only question I can remember, and I know I probably already know what your answer is, but a high percentage didn't go with the answer that I know that you're going to give. And the question was, would you rather give up self-pleasuring to be able to eat your favorite item as much as you want for the rest of your life?
Hell no. You can't. It's like you'll die without it.
And then a lot of people. Literally.
You need to masturbate. It's
like
healthy.
Pizza or something like that. You would have to either give up pizza or give up masturbation.
Never. I wouldn't give up anything for masturbation. I need masturbation. All need masturbation.
Nothing in your life. You.
Let me think. I can't imagine, because to me, being healthy, it's like saying, will you give up water?
Yeah.
You give up breathing. Mm-hmm. You give up masturbation.
So, let's say,
We require.
I know exactly. Can you still have sex? I already knew what you're... you can totally have sex.
You just can't touch yourself.
But let's say like people love their favorite food item. They can't have it for the rest of their life, because then they would, you know, you'd be able to masturbate. But you can have that food item, but you wouldn't be able to masturbate ever again. You know, what's your choice? And I know what your choice is.
You know my choice.
But for the day-to-day person, it might be a tough decision. And the large majority picked the food item over masturbation.
Who are these people?
I don't know.
You tell them that that was wrong because masturbation is an important part of your being sexually healthy?
Well, I picked the food item.
What's your favorite? I had a guy recently on a date today. Yeah. So what's your favorite food? And I find that such an odd question.
Why?
I don't know. I don't have one favorite food. Like when? Like,
well, that's usually set up because they want to take you somewhere.
No. It was on the date.
Oh, okay.
Like, so what's your favorite food? Like, we were already out. Mm-hmm. I think you're just trying to make conversation.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad, but it's just like, I don't know. It wasn't his fault. I'm not saying it's a bad question. I just wouldn't know how to answer that. So when you're talking about a quiz or the survey, what are the food items?
It's just your favorite. Yeah.
What's your favorite? One food item? Like, I feel like everything gets boring.
I would probably pick pizza.
I would have picked pizza for you too.
Pizza's delicious. And I wouldn't give up pizza. I wouldn't be able to have it for the rest of my life for masturbation because I go, well, I could at least still have sex, right?
Right.
So that takes care of that situation. So then I can have both.
Yeah. That's, you know? I understand your reasoning, but I think that, I need it. I need to masturbate.
I would just have to get laid more, you know?
Are you getting laid enough right now?
I am. But I'm just saying,
you could still have orgasms with masturbation. So did men and women answer this question?
Yes.
And I bet you the women were like, I'll take my favorite food item.
Yeah.
Because women aren't as attached to their masturbation as men. I want women to get really attached to masturbation this month.
But I knew since I've known you forever. You know me.
I love masturbation. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we come back even more self-loving for you. Okay, you guys, this show, here's why it's important. Because even if you're like, I know my clitoris, it gets me off. It's, you know, I know what it does. I know how it feels. You know, it's like, it's how I have orgasms. There's a lot of people, though, a lot of you, including myself, when I started out, I never thought to touch it. I didn't understand it. So I think today's show is going to be helpful for women who I never really taken a gander. You haven't looked around. You don't really understand masturbation. You don't really know how to do it. And you kind of, maybe you do it, but you feel shame around it. So it's going to be helpful for those who already masturbate. And it's working for you. And it's good. But you're like, you know what? I could probably take this up a notch. Emily says there's 8,000 nerve endings. How do I know if I've tapped into all of them? Guess what? You probably haven't. Also helpful for people who have partners that are women. Or vulva having partners. How to touch them in different ways. How to understand what the clitoris, what the vulva wants. You're not a mind reader. We're going to help you. So let's begin. All right. This is a tutorial on touching the clitoris, the vulva, exploring the body, all that stuff. And I'm just going to go off. I mean, I have to assume maybe some of this is new. Maybe it's not. And I don't know. I need to hear things a few times. So I'm not mincing words here. Let's talk about the clitoris. It has 8,000 nerve endings. And it's not just that little tiny bulb, that little tiny bump above your vaginal opening. It's actually has legs that extend behind your labia. So you know your labia, it's like a wishbone, right? So picture your labia and then picture the little clitoris. That's what it is. It's like an upside down V.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing is a clitoris. Plus there's internal clitoral nerves. There's a lot. And its only purpose on the planet is for female pleasure. Like there's literally, men don't have something that's just for male pleasure. Like their penis is like for sperm and procreation and peeing.
And the prostate is for sperm and other.
Yeah, for sperm and other, like the prostate is for sperm. It's an important part of their pelvic floor functioning, but it doesn't exist for pleasure, which is why we need to talk all men into exploring it.
Mm-hmm.
For women, we just have this thing and there's no other purpose for pleasure. Yes. But we don't often understand it. We don't know how it works and we're gonna break it down, okay? Okay, so let's start out. We're going to go over some masturbatory beginnings and why some of you might have shame around it. So we were talking about this. I was like, how do I mean, you guys, I could do 85 podcasts right now just on your clitoris and masturbation and the G-spot and all that. But I was like, well, why? Because I want to give people everything. And I thought, because we all need to, no one talks about it. So I never, ever thought about it, masturbation. I didn't know what the clitoris was. I didn't know it. Anything, because I never had an orgasm on my own. I was never one of those, Like a lot of girls tell me that their first orgasm was when they were riding a bike, or they were in the bathtub, or they were, you know, rubbing up against their stuffed animal. And they were like, oh, they were maybe 5 or 7 or 12. And they're like, oh my God, that feels really good. And then they're like, oh, instantly for many, there's like shame, or it's maybe like their mom caught up. So a parent walked in and said, oh no, I just read a story about a mom who slapped her child. Anyway, it was dark for masturbating. So like you guys, but you don't even remember these things. And at some point you were humping your pillow, or you were using a faucet, or you were squeezing your legs together really tight, and you figured out they gave you pleasure. And it's, and you didn't understand it, and you knew it felt good. But then like one day, maybe your mom walked in or your brother walked in and was like, what are you doing? Stop that. That's dirty. That's wrong. And then you, every time you did it, you had a, it instantly became shameful and private. And you still didn't understand it though. No one was like, oh babe, no, listen, that's something for pleasure. Do it on your own. Do it in your bedroom though. Like, then don't let anyone else do it for you until you're ready. It's yours. Have fun with it. But like discretion, do it on your own. You know what I'm saying? But like, that's it. It's like, here's your, how to use chopsticks. Your parents are like, hold them this way. It takes you a few tries. You like, chopsticks took me a while to learn like how to hold them and stuff. And then you go, okay, thanks mom and dad. Or like, here's how you ride a bike. But they're clitoris. They're like, either they say nothing, because my parents said no one talked to me about it, or they're just like, don't do that or whatever. We figured out our own. I was not like any of you. I was 20 years old having sex with partners. And I had to turn to my friends and say, what the hell is this? Why is sex so great? Why does it feel good? Why is it interesting? And they're like, oh, don't you have orgasms? Don't you masturbate? I was like, no, I never even occurred to me to masturbate. Never even, I don't even know what that means. And they're like, well, don't you have orgasms? I was like, I never have any of those things. That sounds fun. So I,
that sounds fun.
Sounds like I'm missing out. And then I had to go to work and do the work that we're going to explain here to figure out what made me feel good. And I've talked to a lot of younger women about this. Like, oh no, like 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds. Gosh, even my friends who are my age, they don't talk to anybody about it, right? Especially when we're younger. Nobody talks about it, clearly. But guys, we kind of know guys jack off. There's like that scene in American Pie. Was that like, you know, or wherever?
The apple pie.
With the apple pie. And you're like, oh, boys put their penises in things and do stuff. Like they want to have, they want to hump things like my dog does sometimes.
It was acceptable for guys to be perverts.
Exactly. But women, we seem weird. We're seen as perverts. We don't understand it. When really, talking about masturbation and exploring your body truly, truly, truly is the very best way that I know about as a doctor of sex, of all my years of research and talking, is the very best way to have the healthiest relationship possible with sex, with pleasure, with asking for what you want, with like knowing what you need. Like that's another thing. Like a lot of times we don't even know what feels good to ourselves, and then we expect our partners to figure it out. So this is your fast track to pleasure. So here's how you start masturbating. Are we ready to get into there? Or
yes.
Or should we keep going with my clitoris?
No, I like this.
All right.
Unless you want to talk more about your clitoris.
Well, like the thing is, I think we covered shame. We covered trauma.
Well, trauma is a whole other thing.
No, I'm just saying that
we
like,
can get in, yeah, if you want to get
I
into
mean, all
that.
I'm saying is I'm just trying to think of, okay, because what I'm going to get into next is how to do it. Like how you're going to get comfortable with masturbation. And I got to say, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm always learning new things about masturbation. And I've been masturbating for almost 30 years. And you're never done. There's always something new to learn. And it's like exercise for your pleasure zone. It's exercise for your...
I mean, there are muscles.
It's exercise for your powers. It's like how you work everything else out. But this part that we don't even realize that it's controlling so much of our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions. And if we are not connected to our body, like I'm just trying, like if we're not connected to it and we walk around like it's just some weird body part that we're ashamed of and we don't like the way it looks and a partner maybe shamed us about it at some point. We saw porn perhaps and we thought, well, mine doesn't look like the women in porn, or it doesn't look like my friend in the gym, or it doesn't look, or, da, da, da. Or I've had a lot of kids, a lot of women we hear from are like, it's changed, and so therefore I hate it. Like a lot of us women hate their bodies. They don't even love their vagina or their vulva. They've never even looked at it. That's huge, you guys. I don't want to give you too much homework, but I want you to take what you like here and leave the rest. But I'm telling you, a game changer is closing a door, locking it, and taking out a mirror, set the mood, lean back, take a look, and see what happens when you use some lube, when you start to touch yourself, and just like get curious about it. Because you think it's ugly, and the only one you've ever seen was in porn or your friends. And it's beautiful. Every single one's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying, like watching a, when you, I don't know, when you're watching a TV, you're like, why don't I look like anyone? Like it's, it.
Everyone's body, even elbows. Everyone's elbows look different.
Thank you. Our elbows are different. Our noses are different. And if yours is like it, you know, it just like the more you love it, the more it's going to love you back. So I'm talking about getting familiar with it. And what's so cool about this is when you actually look at it, in a chill way. I'm not saying you need like a fucking stethoscope, a magnifying glass.
Put on your spectacles.
Or you might. I'm just saying, look at it and get curious and be like, oh, interesting. Because I didn't realize that like everyone's different. So it might be like for some women, it helps to be aroused. It's like under a little hood. There's like a clitoral hood. And once they get turned on, the hood rolls back and it reveals their clitoris. And some women's hood is already out. Mm-hmm. And some's clitoris is just out all the time going, hi, here I am. And you have to coax it out sometimes, you know? And then once you get more aroused and turned on, if you're looking at it, you'll start to see that it like kind of swells up like a bloom, blossoms like a flower.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's like the blood that starts to flow there. So what I always say, like when you're in your head during sex and you're thinking thoughts, the blood is going to your brain. It's not going to your clitoris, and so you're not turned on and in the mood.
Yeah, like thinking too much will actually like pull away from it.
It sucks that blood up to your brain, and then your brain negative, is like, and then your blood is up there in the brain going, I hate my vulva. I have an ugly body.
Your brain is like a genital vampire. I hate my clitoris.
It is a bam. Your brain is a genital vampire. Don't let it suck that blood. Bring it back down there to the energy. Okay, so
now that you're imagining the clitoris in every kind of way possible,
right? But I'm going to go back to the minute. It changes over time and gets aroused when you get more turned on, which I'm going to explain in a moment. But that's going to be an interesting note to take, that when you're trying to get turned on or aroused on your own or with a partner, that it actually changes. So when your partner, let's say you're with a man who doesn't have a vulva and he comes in with his penis quickly and hard and you're like, I wasn't even ready. I didn't touch yet. It's not open and ready for business. It's still closed and swollen and not maybe lubricated yet, and it hurts and you're not aroused, turned on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for all these reasons, it's important to understand your power source.
The power of pleasure.
All right. Let's start with setting the mood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So not, you don't need a bunch of like bells and whistles and trapeze doors and vibrators. Although you might want a vibrator and special lighting and music to get in the mood. But if you've never masturbated, I have to say it does help. So you want to be in a comfortable place. And if you have kids, like, you know, lock the door. Have a masturbation area that you have. Like, I have a full-on setup that I pull out my towel. I pull out, like, I have my, like, masturbation towel. I have the few lubes I like. I make sure my toys are charged, but a lot of times they're not, even though it's my job. I'm like, God damn it, but you try to have a few. Have like a wipes. I love having wipes by my bed to wipe off my toy or my fingers right away. But just have something. And lock the door, have music, whatever gets you relaxed. And I have to say that I think taking a bubble bath.
Bubble
if you bias. Haven't seen a bubble bath, if you have not seen Big Mouth on Netflix, it, how to explain, Jane? It'll change. It's sort of, I feel like if I could have come up with that and the way they explained puberty education stuff, that you, it's brilliant. It's hilarious. Whatever.
Check it out. It's very brilliant.
And she said, the hormone monster says, right. So, Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
Why we're not masturbating, several reasons. We already laid out, we might not like our vagina. We might also be anxious. We might be stressed. We might have fear, shame. We don't think we have time. When you change your state, like you're like, I'm going to take a bath. And maybe you already take baths, but get in the bath because you're going to be able to wipe off the day. You're going to be able to relax, leave your phone outside there. And just, even if it's for 5 minutes or take a shower, change your state. When we change our state, we get in the mood. Okay. Go into your bedroom. light some candles. I always light candles, like for myself. Like I seduce myself when I masturbate because I like the scent. I like the flickering of the light. I hate overhead lights. That makes me anxious. I don't mind even getting dressed. I like the feel of fabric. I might leave some underwear on. I like lay down, make sure I'm comfortable. Or just freaking jump into it. That's fine too. You could do that. But make sure you're good. Okay, once it's set, mood is set, you're in your room, you want to start exploring. And just like we tell our partners, or I would like you to tell them, don't go right for your vulva. This is like a date with yourself. Mm-hmm. Think about what this might help you. If you've ever had a passionate moment with a lover that you remember, a super moment where you're like, wow, that was so hot. I was so turned on. That was so sexy. Do that to yourself. So for me, like, and maybe for you, I love when a finger, like a partner, like takes his hand slowly and like rubs him over my chest and my breasts and my neck. And like, he like, guys, you know, the neck is like full of all these nerve endings and like grazes his fingers over my skin. So do that to yourself. Take some lube or some Woof More Play massage oil is amazing. It's coconut oil. And like rub that down your neck, between your breasts, across your chest, like down your stomach, and like tease yourself. Pay attention to your nipples. Like I didn't even know to explore my nipples that there was like actually a thing where you could have an orgasm from touching your nipples. That women can have orgasms that way. I didn't know. I didn't explore it. I didn't understand. Like, it's very common. And so pay attention to them. Just check them out. Like, graze them. See what it feels. Apply pressure. Different taps. You use different taps, different finger pressures. You use one, you know. Use a vibrator. And here's the other thing, guys. This is why you can have orgasms. The clitoris and the nipples both feel pleasure from the same part of the brain. So it's like the same part of the brain that is sending, or your clitoral orgasm is also in your nipples. They're close cousins.
And take, like, don't just, like, touch your nipple for 2 seconds. Like, take some time.
Take some to tease it.
Tease it.
Flick it around. Play with it. Get to know it. It's like we've all been driving around in clitoral cars that we don't understand how to use.
We're just crashing into stuff.
Understand to drive your body, your breast mobile. That's when you want to tease yourself. Turn yourself on. And then when you're like, oh my God, now I get it. I feel warm. I'm comfortable. Then you can move down to the party. So that's when you get to your vulva. Now, let me just explain this. Vagina. The vagina is like your vaginal opening. It's everything that's happening internally. When I say vulva, I mean like the labia, the clitoris, the pubic mound, or the mons pubis. The pubic mound, which sounds like a national monument.
It does.
I thought that earlier. I was like, oh, kind of sounds like that. And that's the part that is right. People know, like, your pelvic floor, like, you push on it sometimes. Like, I know for me, like, when I started to masturbate, like, I apply pressure to at my mons pubis because it's, like, indirect stimulation to what's going on inside, maybe the G-spot, some of those clitoral, it's kind of at the top of the clitoral nerves.
Yeah.
So applying pressure.
Yeah, I didn't start doing that until not that long ago, and it just, it feels like it does drive everything a lot more than what you're doing, and it's interesting because it's like you're like, I feel it, but it just adds that little extra oomph.
So you hadn't naturally touched it.
I hadn't naturally touched it.
Wow.
And then, you know, working here and realizing, okay, I need to, because I'm a very much like in and out done masturbator, but I do now take the time at least once a week to do a longer masturbation session. And I've started to figure out new things that I like.
Good. See? Never
done. That was one. Never done.
Jade, that's a great one. I used to do that during when I was having sex with someone, and I didn't understand why. Like, I would be pressing on it, and then I have them pressing on it, like, for years. But mm-hmm. then I was like, oh, now I understand. So, because it helps facilitate your pleasure and mm-hmm. orgasms. Okay, guys, so now back to this. So when you're down there and you're touching, you get down to your vulva, you're teasing yourself, you have to use lube. Like, you know how I feel. I feel strongly about this. Your clitoris is not going to lubricate itself. It just doesn't. Few drops. Reapply as needed. We love Pure. It's a great first lube to try out, or new lube, especially their classic silicone. It lasts longer. You don't have to reapply it much, and it doesn't leave that stickiness to your body or sheets. If you're more sensitive, they also have a water-based lube, Pure, which is amazing. So now, there you are. You're hanging with your vulva. You're connected. You're one. You're breathing. Breath also plays a huge factor in pleasure and getting into your body and really being able to access all that's within you. is through breath. And a lot of times we don't learn how to breathe properly. No one ever teaches us that you're supposed to breathe down deep into your pelvic floor and take like four deep breaths in and then four out. And there's all these different breath works. If you've ever done yoga, like Ujjayi breath, whatever it is, do a conscious breathing practice when you're masturbating, because that'll help relax you. It'll release tension. It'll help with the blood flow. So the blood will start to circulate and it helps you access more of the energy that is flowing through your body. And it helps you connect more to your power source that is your sexual energy. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this show. Here's some business with Emily. Find me on SiriusXM Radio Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. For more awesome sex talk, you guys could also call in with your questions Monday through Friday, even if you don't have SiriusXM. But you can get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. And the number is 888-947-8277. If you like the show, please review us. Rate us, review us wherever you listen. We so appreciate it. On iTunes, all the things. If there's anything you want to hear about or you have any questions or topic ideas, feedback at sexwithemily.com.